Yes, I can. Bloopers. Okay.
Hang around people that get marriages. People that show you what
you gotta put the mic by the back.
It's contagious.
Okay, let's start over.
Hang around people with good marriages. People that show you what a good marriage looks like. It's infectious. It's contagious. I've seen so many people in our group that are like more affectionate now and more loving. And it's awesome to see because, you know, like you showed them and you've made it a priority. And we've talked about it like ad nauseum of what the expectations are. Hang around people with good marriages.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the We Need to Talk About It podcast. And we're excited to be back with you guys. I think this has been fun for us and hopefully it's been fun for you so far. You're just staring at me awkwardly. Do you have something you want to say?
No, I wasn't awkwardly staring. I was just listening to
deeply
you.
Deeply staring into my eyes.
Oh my gosh.
A different type of podcast today, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll look away.
No.
You're so handsome and symmetrical.
Oh, why thank you. Why thank you. The audio you just heard would be our topic for today. We're just going to dive into that.
Yes.
And just kind of dissect a little bit of what you heard. What we think about it and some of our takeaways, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I'll try not to creepily stare at you.
Do what you want. All right. So let's just jump right in. So the person you heard talking was David Pollack, played in the NFL for a little while, played at the University of Georgia, was a color commentary or a talking head on ESPN for a while. I think he still is doing college football, but he is on a podcast called the Family Goals Podcast. And he's talking about, as you heard, surrounding yourself mm-hmm. with other couples.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we hear this a lot in business. You hear, you know, surrounding yourself with people who are getting to a certain level,
right,
trying to get to a certain level. We hear it with we tell our kids this actually, you know, you're the sum of the five people you keep around you. Like, I'm sure we've all heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same is true for the couples you keep around you and also the couples that they keep around them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the next layer to it. And I'll get to that a little bit later. We'll touch on that, but I think it's really important that people that you select to be in your inner circle of couple friends is very important, because if you have couple friends that have toxic relationships, I think some of that toxicity has the tendency to rub off on you, because those are the men and women who exemplify relationship around you.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you don't have like a solid relationship, then you can get caught up into that.
Right.
Toxic kind of relationship or beliefs or thoughts.
Right. Because ultimately what happens when you have these couple group friends is that the guys are friends together and we have like a guys group and the ladies have a ladies group. And so we're interacting with each other and then we come together and we do family stuff together or couple stuff together. But in a situation where you have a friend or couple group and they have, you know, their issues, a lot of time there's like venting in the guys group or venting in the ladies group, and they're talking about, you know, saying some really negative things more often than not. And no matter where you stand on your own relationship, the more negativity that is around you, the more it's going to seep in. Right. Mm-hmm. And eventually,
and vice versa.
Right. And eventually you're going to get to a point where like you start to think negative things like, oh man, that's right, she did do that. Oh, I never thought about it that way. I can't believe, man, this whole time I thought that was normal, you know? And then
I don't know.
No, but I'm just saying, I think that's what happens.
I'm just
right?
kidding. I think
and,
it could.
And,
yeah.
And on the flip side, like if you have a really positive group of couple friends, then they're singing the praises of their wives and you're like, oh man, you know, everybody's sharing gratitude and everybody's all happy.
Sure.
And it's like,
kidding.
Oh man, this is phenomenal, man. I love this marriage thing. And you're patting each other on the back and high fiving because you're all so happy in your relationships. Or if your relationship is on the rocks a little shaky, but you surround yourself with other people whose marriages are thriving,
mm-hmm.
then it gives you something to strive for.
Right.
There's a layer of accountability there. There mm-hmm, is some motivation sure. and some encouragement and mm-hmm. some maybe some words of wisdom that they could share with you.
Yeah.
So I think it is really, really important who you surround yourself with mm-hmm. as a couple.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I agree. I don't know if it's like kumbaya meetings happening, but I do think that every relationship goes through its different phases. And so I think it can be a really great thing for you to be able to surround yourself with positive relationships, or at least healthy, right? Like relationships, in whatever healthy way, like whether they're communicating in a healthy way, they're working together in a healthy way, they're talking about each other in a positive, healthy way, whatever it is, right? Like, I think that's good to see, because unfortunately, a lot of times people, you know, don't get to grow up seeing healthy relationships, right? Or they see a lot of like toxic or broken or just problematic relationships. So if you ask people, a lot of times you ask, okay, what is your example of a healthy relationship or a successful relationship? And people don't always have that in their lives, mm-hmm. right? So if your foundation isn't that, if you don't have a lot of those relationships or examples, or when you were, you know, dating, some people may be the only married friend in your like original group of friends, right? So you might have to go and find some, you know, like friendships that are, you know, where people are married, right? You know, you can't hang out with your college boys all the time if they're not married now, right? And you're grown. And same, like you can't always go out with your single, you know, female friends.
Right. All the brunches and girls trips.
Brunches and girls trips. Like you could do that, but like you also need to see and have conversations with people in healthy relationships, so other women in healthy relationships. Because I do think, like you said, it influences your opinion, or you can get some support and feedback, right? Or mm-hmm. even if it's like you have to maybe take a step back and think about what you're doing, right? Like those positive relationships where they can say like, wait a minute, like look at what you're doing, or give, you know, cut him a break, or you know, speak what you need, or, you know, hey, try this, hey, try that, you know, try sharing this. And like, so I like our, like we're very blessed too. I don't know if this is a normal thing. We've talked about this in our couples friends group. We just happen to have a really, you know, good core group of other couples in our kind of just all throughout, actually. Like we have some friends, some older friends that are married and they have a good relationship. And then we have these new group of friends. They're not too new now. We've known them for like 5 years now, right?
Six, I think.
6 years now. And you know, they're all married as well. And so all the guys get along and all the ladies get along and all the kids get along. And I'm like, that's rare. Like, and in our group, we've talked about that, like how rare that is. That's not necessarily normal. That's why I said, I don't know if it's all kumbaya, like everybody has these like groups of friends. But if you don't have that, right, we do suggest you get that, because it can be really helpful to have these moments where you can branch out and have these different conversations with, you know, these other friends and yeah. have healthy conversations or help out or get ideas or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I'm really big on the idea of community, especially for men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of times we have been socialized, or society has taught us that we have to kind of do it all alone as a man, right? Like you got to man up and you have to take care of business. And a lot of us, as you mentioned just a second ago, we don't have great examples of married men.
Right.
We don't see it a whole lot in society in general, right? We see, you know, boys will be boys and men are doing this and doing that. And in movies and TV, men are not very good in relationships in general. Like there's like, I guess in our time in the 90s, there were sitcoms with families, right? And there were dads that were involved in their families' lives. Mm-hmm. And that was a really big thing, right? But if you look at TV now, it's not really happening. It's not a whole lot of it, right? and society in general. Like, it's just not a whole lot of wholesome married male examples for us to follow. And so growing up without it, or not seeing it, not having it modeled for you, and then becoming a married man and not having any support or anyone, just bounce ideas off, ask questions, to vent, maybe even, does not bode well for a young man or an old man, right? Community is very important in a way, like I mentioned before, it's encouragement, right? It's like, it's sharing ideas, it's knowledge, it's understanding. It's, you know, maybe you are a bridge between an older gentleman who's been married for 20, 30, 40 years, can give you sage advice that maybe you pass down to a younger man that's in that same community, or in that group of couple friends. I think, you know, you have some friends that, because of who they are going to be better at certain things, right? They do certain things better. And you learn from them the things that they do that work in their relationships. You also learn some of the things that they do that don't work in their relationships, and then you don't have to make the same mistake.
Yes.
That right. Way. You can learn from them. Like Jay-Z said, Hov did that. So hopefully you wouldn't have to go through that. Mm-hmm. Right. When he made that mistake, you don't go and do the same thing. Right. You saw how it worked out for him.
Yeah.
Right. Now your wife is different than his, but it's probably not a good idea. Right. Right. So you can learn from the other guys in the community. And as David mentioned in his video, just talking about like people being more affectionate, like you got a guy in your group that's really affectionate with his wife, and you see how that works, and you hear about it and he talks about it and you see it in action. You're like, ooh, okay. All right. I like what he's doing there. I like the way his wife looks at him, and I like the way that they show each other how much they love each other. Mm-hmm. And that seems really cool. Let me do that. Or, you know, there's a variety of different things that you can pick up from other couples, when you're surrounded by them.
Yeah.
That can strengthen your own personal relationship. Mm-hmm. Then too, I think it also involves conversation between the couples.
Right.
Like we have done before, and I wouldn't say we do often, but we've done it enough times where we, you know, are all together, and we just kind of talk about each other and relationship and life and being able to have this kind of community of shared love, honor and respect and all those things. And I want to see them do good, and they want to see us do good. Mm-hmm. It has a way of bolstering the relationship that we already have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So now my question for you, because you kind of helped craft this group of people. Let me back up for a second. You did.
I was a part of the
growth.
Of
you are more than, I don't talk to people. Like, if we're out.
That's true.
Like, yo, hi, bye. Yeah. I'm going to do my thing. So if it was up to me, these conversations probably would have never got more than hi or bye.
True. Yeah, because one of our friends started it, and then, but we connected and then got the husbands in. And yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So if it was up to me.
The women were the catalyst.
But looking outside of this, of our core group, is we do have other friends that are in successful relationships, that are married and doing the thing. I think one of the things it points to, and this is going to be a common thing for me, if you guys are listening, is the work on yourself part of it.
Yeah.
And this is what I talk about with fathers that I work with or that I talk to, is being the best version of yourself is the best thing you can do for other people. When you are just in general a good person, you tend to attract other good people. Mm-hmm. And so when we say we have this core group of friends that are good in marriage, like have good relationships, we also have these outside groups of people that we are friends with that have good marriages, just because we are good people who attract good people. And it's hard to be a good person and be bad in any situation. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to be a good man. It is. I'm going to say it. It's hard to be a good man and a bad husband, because some of those qualities cross over, and it's hard to do both. Let's do it. You can definitely be a bad husband and be a good man, but it's harder to do. Now go. Disagree. Let's do it.
You know what it is? I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I think it's because goes back to examples of relationships, right? So like what, like someone can be like a good guy in general or a good friend, right? But just may suck in relationships, right? Like may have certain expectations of a partner or and like won't budge, like, right? Like very resistant to mm-hmm. change within a relationship or a partnership versus maybe open and free with other people, right? And open to learning and change and all that, but have like, this is my expectation of what marriage is and it will not go beyond that, right? And so, or they could be, you know, good, you know, at their job or good, you know, citizen kind of thing, but then, you know, just have these examples, poor examples of a husband within a relationship. Like maybe their, you know, dad wasn't around or maybe their dad wasn't good with the wife, right? Or with their mom, or right? Maybe he cheated or maybe he yelled or whatever. So you can have a good guy. I mean, this has happened, right? Like we know people, right? Certain situations where it's like this good guy on paper and then was cheating on his wife kind of thing. Or was, you know, good friend, but maybe not, don't treat their wife the best kind of thing. So, or don't, they don't help out, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. So I don't know. That's hard to say.
I'm waiting for the good man part because you talked about a good citizen. You talked about a good employee. You talked about
A good man in general.
See, when you say in general, though, that's like that doesn't equate necessarily to a good man.
Well, I mean, there's so many things you could say about what can make somebody a good man, but I'm just mm-hmm. saying like they could be a good person or mm-hmm. a good friend, but may not be good in relationships.
Yes.
Because I think everyone is good in relationships, right? Like there could be, like we just talked about in the last episode is like, are you willing to change? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to kind of keep the spark going in your relationship, all that kind of stuff? It's mm-hmm. like, there's some people who are not willing to put in the work, right? So that can make you not necessarily a good partner, but you could be a good X, Y, and Z, but just not a good partner to the person you're married to.
Got it. I hear you. Again, you said the good partner, good XYZ. We're talking about a good man, right? So we say like qualities of a good man are like honesty, integrity, empathy, strength, courage, honor, wisdom. Like there's a bunch of different words that go along into that, right?
Okay.
If I'm in a relationship with someone and I'm honest, it makes me better in a relationship. Yes or no?
Well, yeah.
Okay. If I have integrity, it makes me better in a relationship. Yes or no?
Well, see, that's where we got to go back and say like,
So then I think what's happening
is, are you using those values and skills in your relationship? That's where I think we're,
well, that's the
like disconnect. You might, yeah, that's the disconnect. Like you may be using those values and skills outside of your relationship, but not in your relationship. And I think that's something people can be aware of, right? Like the whole idea or the concept of, like someone could go all day and, you know, be nice and friendly to everyone in the neighborhood or at work, right? And then they go home and they're like grumbling around, you know, or yelling at their kids or yelling at their spouse, right? It's because, and not to say that doesn't mean you're not good or you're not kind, but there's like tension or something about the situation or the relationship maybe aggravating you or whatever the case is. And so you may be a different person.
But that's what I was going to, I'm glad you said it. That's what I was going to say is that you have to figure out who is the real person. Because if you go out of the house and you're putting on a facade as someone who's nice and caring and kind and a good citizen.
No, you might be both.
Okay.
No, I mean like you, the stressors of the home or the lack of getting your needs met or whatever could turn you into a different person in your relationship and home. Like that could happen to some people.
Okay.
Okay, but we're agreeing to disagree.
We are agreeing to disagree. I think
that's what it sounds like.
Well, no, I don't think we're agreeing to disagree, but we are agreeing to disagree only because I think that it's, like I said, initially I said it was hard to do, right? It's not impossible. And so that's where we're agreeing. And I think it's a matter of who you truly are, right? Like who are you at the core of it?
And are you that person everywhere you're at?
But that's what I mean. At the core of it, you have to be, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Like you are or you aren't that person. Like you're pretending it to be it or faking to be it or.
Okay, this
putting it on as a jacket when you're going out into the rain, but when you come back inside, you take that jacket off and you're whoever. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't think that's the case. I think we're just such complicated human beings. Okay. Like, so in psychology, right, it's like, are you, like, I talk to people about, like, do your values, like, what you truly value, do they match your behaviors? Mm-hmm. So, and it's called cognitive dissonance, but basically mm-hmm. that can happen to people, right? Like, you can truly be this person to your core, but you may not always intentionally behave in the same way of your values mm-hmm. and your system, value system. Mm-hmm. Not all the time, even if you want to, right? There might be other influences and other reasons and issues and complications and history and da-da-da-da-da that can impact that. That's all okay. I'm saying.
When that happens, is there some type of internal conflict?
Yeah. So
that's why I say it's hard to do.
Yeah, but people do it all the time.
I didn't say it was impossible. I said it's hard to do, though. Okay. It's hard to... But again, it all goes back to working on yourself, right? So if you're working on yourself to become the best version of yourself, you would be self-aware and you would realize that these things are happening. You'd have, maybe you still mm-hmm. have cognitive dissonance, but
therapy.
But you're aware of where you're falling short of being who you want to be.
Yeah, so for sure.
So then you work on being better at that thing, which then equates to better, you being better in that relationship. You get what I'm saying?
I think you can, right? Once you're aware. And that's why what we're saying and what they said on that episode is surround yourself by people who are in line with how you hope and want mm-hmm. to continue to be. Because when you fall short or if you're not being that way, then this is that motivation and encouragement to stick with that.
Right. Yeah. It's like looking, you're getting an opportunity to look at yourself in the mirror or look at the other people as your mirror. Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh, I don't really line up with the values that I really like in this couple mm-hmm. or that I really like in the way he is a husband mm-hmm. to his wife.
Oh, for sure.
Or I really like the way I'm showing up for my wife mm-hmm. as opposed to how he's showing up for his wife. Right. And then it reinforces me doing some of the things that I want to do. But we're in this particular, it's just talking about surrounding yourself with positive,
right,
successful, happy relationships. And then in which case you would be aspiring mm-hmm. To elevate yourself in your relationship or to solidify your thought process on where your relationship is and where it's going.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think we're in agreement with that part.
Right.
But, I just think.
But being a good man and a bad husband is.
Is possible. Okay. Because we're not perfect.
I never said it wasn't possible, but.
Oh, it's uncomfortable is what you're saying.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard.
People it's do hard. It every day. No, I'm joking.
People do. People do. Politicians do stuff every day and still be good people. You know what I mean? Like people who are like, say for the military, for example. Right. If I'm a general mm-hmm. and we're at war somewhere, I don't really want to take people out just because, like, just on a regular basis when right. I'm at home, I don't want to take people out. But this is war. This is what we have to do. And so I'm making the command that people have to take other people. You know what I'm saying? Does that make me a bad man?
No.
No. It's a function of my job or my duties. Mm-hmm. In a relationship, I think it's different though, mm-hmm. right? Because you kind of get to craft the relationship for what it is. Like the war is war.
Right.
Like I don't get to craft the way war works out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A relationship isn't, maybe a relationship is war, depending on your situation.
Yeah. Some people it is.
But typically you guys are, it's you and her versus the world, That's not you we- versus her. And
that's
the
how
world.
We hope it to be.
That's
right?
What we want, right?
That's the goal.
In which case.
And if you're not in that, then you got to try to find a way to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm saying.
You're on the same team.
Yes. You should be on the same team, right? It should not be a situation where you are fighting against each other. You should be fighting for each other. Mm-hmm. In which case, if I am trying to be a better version of me, I'm being a better version of me for you and me. Mm-hmm. Which ripple effect, the relationship is better because I get better.
Yeah. And I want to just say, so the comment section doesn't go crazy about women, because sometimes those the comment section is wild.
Let me clear this up. She's going to refer to the comment section quite often. So I run a fatherhood page on Instagram, and obviously fatherhood is going to be a ton of men, and men hate women right now. I don't know.
Despise us. No, I'm joking. No, it's not just yours. I read other random comment sections just for fun because I think it's hilarious.
I think women are starting to dislike men as well, though. I think there's just like there's a silent battle that's going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The comment section is wild in general. Like, it's hilarious. But yeah, so basically, yes. So what I was going to say, though, is just so I won't get blasted in the comments section, I do think that the same is true. There's women who, might be good women, like we're saying, but are not fully showing up in the relationship as who they can, like their best selves, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. In a relationship. And there's a lot of factors at play, just like I mentioned factors at play with men. And so I do think surrounding yourself with other women and other wives or partners or whatever the case is, it can help uplift you or help you to kind of get in line with being still good in a relationship. But there is discomfort in that, right? Because it's like, man, I want to be a better wife, or I want to be, good at this, or I want to actually, not to go too deep into this, but sometimes, you know, women will have a conversation about like, I want to have more sex with my husband, or I want to be more intimate or whatever, but this is getting in the way, or that's getting in the way. Like, what are some ideas? What are some examples? Like, we've, as women in our group, we've talked about that. Like, how do you get this going? Or how do you express this or that or the other? And so, you know, so I think, when you're surrounded with other people, just like we're kind of going back to what we're saying, it helps you to have these open, vulnerable conversations, right? And to get ideas, right? So you could see like, okay, what are other people kind of doing? Or is this normal? Is it not normal? Is there a problem with, kind of what's going on? Like, do we need support, help? What's going on, right? In whatever area that may be. So I do think like it goes both ways. You could still be, right? Like, because someone could say like, oh, well, you're not being a good wife because you're not pleasing your husband all the time, whenever he wants it, every second. But it's like, right, it's perception. That's why I said, like, you could be a good person, you could be a good woman, but what if there's some area and you're not doing that? So now are you not good in a relationship? Are you not good in a marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So, and some people might say, yeah, no, like, she's dropping the ball kind of thing. And it's like, well, hold on, right? Like, what other things are going on here, right? So I think it just, All that to say is that it goes both ways, right? Like, I think people could still be good people, but just have challenges within being their best selves in a relationship.
Okay.
So don't come after me in the comment section.
You're safe. I think you're safe. I think you're safe.
I think I'm safe too. No, I try to stay neutral. I think both sides, there's issues. I could see. That's why the comment section is entertaining, because I'm like, I can see that point, and I can see this point, and I can see that.
So just real quick, this is completely separate, but it has nothing to do with David Pollack's video, it's comment section type of stuff. So I saw somebody say, this is not even really relationship stuff either, so I'm just going to throw it out there for comic relief, maybe. I don't know if you paid attention recently or over the last couple of years, but there's been like this running list of things that men can't do or else it's considered to be too feminine or gay or something, right? Okay. Which is wild, but it is a mounting list. I saw someone today say, because, you know, there was like the Tony Baker thing where he's talking about like he can't understand why men hate women so much now.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a comment that said... Men who love women too much are secretly gay because they're trying to pretend they love women so much that we don't think they're like, so we're not suspicious of them. I'm like, yo,
no one has to hide being gay anymore.
This is wild.
Right.
I love women too much, so I must be like, what?
What?
So when we talk about the comment section, that's the kind of stuff that's flying around out here. it's the Wild West. But
as we could do probably a whole thing about the comment section one day. We should.
That's what, we should probably add that on here too as we listen to the video and then we scroll the comment section for a few minutes and just pick some stuff out that's wild.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Because it is wild. The Wild Wild West. There is one other thing I want to add to all of this, right? And you kind of made mention of it, but I do think there is something about knowing that you're, that there's that discomfort, right? In being, and not being your best self in a relationship and not having the healthiest relationship and being part of a toxic relationship and part of it continuing to be toxic. There's something about like being a part of that that's not okay. Like there should be this drive to say like, hey, that's not good for you. And that's not good for me. Like this is not okay for either one of us just as human beings. Like we should not be like forcing people to be in this like toxic thing, right? Or forcing ourselves to stay in this toxic thing, right? Without any repair, healing, work, recovery, support, help, whatever you want to call it. So, and we talk about this a lot. And I was just talking to one of my friends about this. Like, I just don't understand. Like why, and this is maybe why like the younger generation and other people don't want to get married. Cause they're like, why would I be a part of that? Right. Like, that is terrible. Like, why would I want to engage in a situation where I'm just like sitting with someone being miserable and just sitting in misery with them and they're miserable, right? Like I get the whole, like stay and fight. That's different than just like stay and just stay miserable and no one's trying to work on nothing or fix anything, right? Or change or shift or whatever the case is. So that's my thing is like, don't just sit and be complacent in something that's like unhealthy or toxic. Like do something, fight, or in a healthy way fighting, right? Like fight for something better. Not just like, okay, this is what it is. This is how we're going to be. And this is just going to be it, right?
Right. And I think, again, going back to the mirror part of what I said is having those successful couples around you remind you that it's possible. Mm-hmm. They allow you to see that it's something worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, if you're able to talk to, you know, your side or both sides, actually, you know, it also is really cool. And I haven't necessarily had to do this, but you now have a cohort of women who are in a friendship with your wife who you can now talk to about like, hey, you know, and this is just depending on how in depth or how, you know, how deep your relationships are as couple friends. You know, but you now have the opinion of a woman who or other women who know your wife and know how she, because she's talked to them about how she feels. And, you know, instead of you, you know, maybe when things are is it contentious? Mm-hmm. It's like things are contentious between you and her, instead of asking her questions or, you know, maybe agitating her. You could ask them and they don't have the same level of agitation with you because they're not immediately in it. They know about it though, because she's told them.
Yeah, right? For sure.
They are familiar with the situation. And so maybe they can give you some insight that you otherwise wouldn't have. You can pick the brains of people who are not only physically like your wife, but they've also shared conversation with her about the situation. And so they may be able to give you some insight. I'm not saying ask them and then run with it. Saying just to get some information that you otherwise wouldn't have and try to use that to help you in those, you know, particular situations.
Yeah. Or pick their brains about thoughts on different topics and things.
Here's the other cool thing is like, if you want to get your wife a gift or if mm-hmm. you know, something's coming up, they can help you plan stuff.
Yeah.
They can tell you like the little things that she's mentioned that she liked that you wasn't paying attention to and you should have been. You know, like little stuff like that, that would otherwise not happen when you don't have that connection or community.
Yeah. Community, right? That's the thing. Don't pick the toxic friends.
Right.
Good,
don't
healthy, good people.
Don't do that. Don't do that at all. And then also there's a level of safety there mm-hmm. as well. You know, because
they're rooting for you and your marriage and all of that.
Right. Yeah. So look, hey, if you don't have one, if you don't have a community of other couple friends, I suggest you start looking for one. It's definitely important to the longevity of your relationship. I think there's a right group of friends. There's a right type of friends. There's a right type of couple friends that you have to find. There's going to be some probably turnover. Right. There's mm-hmm. maybe some couple groups that you think is, oh, this is really cool, but it's not, mm-hmm. you know, they gossip too much or they got drama mm-hmm. that you didn't know about or whatever. That's going to happen. But ultimately, you know, if you're lucky or blessed like we are, you'll find a group of people who are along the same lines as you, whose visions and values align with yours. And that community is priceless. So I hope that for you guys, I hope that by listening to this podcast, you guys are trying to find that for yourselves, trying to learn more about you and your relationship and, you know, maybe a couple of funny things here or there. But then also considering building your community of couples that will, enrich and enhance your life.
What's happening in your house, to yourselves or whatever mm-hmm. the case is. But I do think that there is something about when you have trusted people that it's okay to kind of share certain things with them. Now, maybe not every single thing, right? But just if you feel like it's going to change their opinion or they're going to have judgment or whatever of your partner, but you know, enough stuff to where you can get the support and advice and feedback that you need. Right. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
So having a balance there is important.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode. As always, I appreciate you guys for taking the time to join us. I know that you are running busy lives like we are. And so anytime you take time to listen to us, it's greatly appreciated.
Yes.
If you're not already following us, make sure you go follow us at We Need to Talk Cast on Instagram. You can email us at WeNeedToTalkCast@gmail.com. And I mentioned this in the last episode, and I'm probably going to mention this in every episode going forward, is if you see something out there, something on Instagram, something on TikTok that you think you'd like to hear us comment on or talk about, go ahead and send it to us. Shoot us a DM. I'd love to see what you guys are seeing out there. Not everything is going to hit my algorithm.
I've
crafted it pretty well, but I don't think that I can get everything. So, you know, when you guys come across something relationship oriented or anything like that, or you got questions, just go ahead and shoot them to us and we'll do our best to get it on the nearest episode of the podcast.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you for listening.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you later.